All right. Before we can learn, we're in Igeres HaKodesh, the second letter on page 206 in Tanya. Before we can learn the letter, we need some background. This letter was written by the Baal Tanya after he was released from prison. In order to have an appreciation for what that's all about, we need to understand why he was in prison and what the attitudes were and how appreciative and thankful he was for being released from prison. So there was a period in which let's learn this Igeres Nun Dalid first, and then it gives us somewhat of a context, and I'll give you some more background history. So this letter was written in Tavkuf Nun Ches, which was a year before the letter we're about to learn was written. I assume this one was written in Tavkuf Nun Tes. This one is written about a year and a half earlier. So this is before he was in prison, but the flames of the anti-Chabad particular, but certainly the general anti-Hasidic movement against the Talmid Baal Shem was in its full-fledged, fierce thing. This is after the passing of the Vilna Gaon. And you'll see in a minute why that's significant, because it really got going much stronger after the Gaon's passing. So take a look here at Igeres Nun Dalid. It's in the new letters from the Baal Tanya. It's on page Kuf Tzadif Dalid. It's letter Nun Dalid. La'huvay achai v'reyai to my beloved Anash, Haminyan de Kehila Vilna, Yitzav Hashem Itam Es Habracha V'Shalom. He's writing this to his community in Vilna, to the community of Chassidim that were living in Vilna at the time. After I inquired about your well-being, Pesach Devare Laheir, first of all, I want to begin Oraslicha by apologizing Al Icher Tshuvos Yadena for the fact that I didn't write back until now. It was not by an act of rebellion of any kind that I didn't write back. It's not like I didn't care about you. As I told you last week, his writing is so incredibly gorgeous. Every phrase is a borrowed phrase, either from Chazal or from Tanakh. Because whenever you're in pain, it hurts me tremendously. Your pain is the pain of the tzibur. Kemayim Chazal Shoisa Yoyim Hayakosha LiYisrael Kiyem Shenasa HaEgel. Like Chazal tell us that on the day of the Tzores Hakol, it is like the day that the Egel was made. Shenasa is Teri Kabeis Teres Chas V'Shalom. VeHashem Yoyim LeTzorosim Daim. May Hashem tell order that the pain stop. Let the community already see its comfort speedily in our days. Next page. Since you're asking me about my opinion, to give my opinion from a distance, and you're asking me about something that I didn't hear from my teachers. Now, what's going on here is that they were suffering immeasurably in Vilna from the Misnagdim, and they wanted to fight back. And he is not allowing them to fight back. So he says, "Kishenasa Ma'aser Rav Otzem B'Ma'oid Manasat." I can only compare back to another time in the past when it was worse than now. Dahainu, that is to say, b'shnas tovkuf lamed beis, so a full 30-something years before this. B'kile brod, shidfisu akruz demachnechem, when they came out with the excommunication against the chassidim. V'oid noisav aleim dvorim rabim koshim kigidim, and included in that chayrim were horrific things. Umruris pasonim shakorim, lies, v'kizuvim, and all kinds of fantasies. V'atzumim al kamen yoros, pages of lies. V'nishtachu asfarim b'chol tefutzos hagoyla, and that chayrim was spread throughout the exiles. Mamish lo yu'min kisum. You wouldn't believe me if I would tell you. Goydel ha-bizyoynis, the disgrace, embarrassment, v'yisurim shenas ozlat tzadikim ha-mefursomim devalin. The disgrace that we're going on against the tzadikim of Valin, he's referring here to the disciples of the Magid. Many of them had to leave their homes. The Baditch of Ru was thrown out in the middle of the winter. His wife and children were thrown out of their homes. He had nowhere to go. And all of those who were thrown out, we all gathered in the home of our teacher of blessed memory, the killer Ravna. That was the Ravna Magid, referring to the great Magid of Mizrich. So all of these disciples gathered in Mizrich. Well, the Takas Eitz have to come up with a solution. Kedas Malasis, how do we respond? There were many good ideas that came up on how to defend ourselves and to negate their thoughts. And to write back tremendous words, with words of truth. And to print them up. To spread them among the people. Many other ideas. Our Rebbe, the great Magid, did not choose to follow that path. To act in any which way in response. The only thing he allowed was us to daven. To cry out to Hashem. Who will negate the plans of those who are conniving, and that their hands not be allowed to mix in. So the great Magid did not allow us to respond. Next page, Kuf Tzadik Vav. Kasha Pasal Lanu Kein Hoya. And just as the great Magid told us what happened, that's exactly what happened. Minyiskayim Bayam Adad Gia Loshen Shekeh, and it was fulfilled in them, the Pasuk in Mishle, that their falsehoods fell away. And all of their books disappeared from the world. And instead, for us, our suffering was good for us in the end. At the beginning it was painful, but at the end we thrived. Like our own eyes behold. After that, cherem nisrabnu la'alofim u'rivavos anash b'chol ha'medinas. The chassidim increased to the tens of thousands in all of the countries. Ve'ra'isim aflagas hashkarim, because they saw through the lies, shemafligim shekenegdo, they knew that those who are opposed to us made up about us. Ba'atzim ve'erisham kolam aleinu, when they went and got the whole world to gang up against us, b'rash goldav kol teruah, with shayfris and all kinds of noise. And now they want to come and reawaken these old things, because now that one was done when the Goyen was still alive. Now they want to go back and reawaken this all. Falsehood has no standing. It's not going to survive. Had we not suffered then, quietly, and accepted Hashem's Yisurim with love, and instead if we would have responded with warfare, thousands and tens of thousands would have been pushed away, because they would have seen it as a distasteful thing to join. And they would have not seen the truth because of the need for victory. You hear? The need for victory would have pushed away people from seeing the truth. People would get caught off in Nitzachim. Hashem protected us to see to it that today we would have the tremendous success that we have. So he writes to his kehillah in Vilna, just like what was going on then, the same thing as now. Lishtaik, we must be silent. It is obligated upon us. Lishtaik, to be silent. Velizbael, to suffer. To accept the pain with love. We should view them, all this pain, as birth pangs. And I trust that Hashem will finish the work. For when the pain stops, Yisialdu, they'll give birth to alofim revavos, to more of thousands and tens of thousands. V'nilvu el Hashem l'shorsoi, he's not interested in himself. That all these people will join Hashem to serve him. U'levarech b'shmoi, to bless Hashem b'makalis b'koyli koylis. This is what we referred to last week in the letter that we learned. People will begin davening with koyli koylis, screaming and passion. There was all around, all of the arguments surrounded, revolved around, we'll see in a moment, I'll share with you one other focal point, but one of the main focal points was davening. Not only in voice, but there was clapping, there was moving, people were alive. And at that time, we won't even remember the pain. And people won't talk about it anymore. And it will be fulfilled, the pasuk, that truth will sprout from the earth. That will be your comfort. And you will receive reward for refraining from getting involved. A word is worth a sella. Silence is worth twice as much. Because this is a time that sometimes one needs not to answer. What's more, this is a really tall order. I don't want you holding a grudge against the people in your city, because they're all in error. Because they're all dependent upon the great tree, referring to the Vilna Gaon. Asha Samach Reisha V'Rubai, who relied primarily on Gvias Edu Shakranim, upon false witnesses. Shaganvu Levavai, who stole his heart, V'Levav Bezdin, and the heart of his court. Kasharachti B'Mechtov Ishtakin, like I went through great length in my letter last year. It's a very powerful letter where he pleads and begs to be allowed to plead his case. And he writes that he and Remendel Vitebsky went to the Goyen's house and knocked on the door, and they returned away twice. And they stayed and awaited, and the Goyen finally couldn't take it, and he left town so that not to see them. So I don't want you answering. And the fact is that the way one person looks at another is how that person will feel about them. So Hashem should turn the hearts of all of your city to the good. And he should place peace in your gates speedily in our time. These are the words of the one who loves you, who's looking for your well-being at all times. So, when this didn't work, there was a fellow by the name of Avigdor. So this plan didn't work. The plan of just going out with the charamim, they made another charam, they forbade their shechita, they forbade to marry their daughters, they forbade their wine and their food. And their shechita. And, you know, this is all of all the chassidim. Those letters from the children of the Remedach, writing about what he suffered. So he writes, the Baltani writes in another letter, that they went, and the way he writes about the Vilna Gaon, he always writes about him, HaGoyen HaChosid Neriyar, he always refers to him with the utmost respect. And people came and pleaded on our behalf, and he refers he refused to see us. Then we went to Shklov, which was one of the centers, to plead our case and to debate, and they refused. And he writes about the the types of machlokes. And then he writes that there really is nothing to argue about, because one of the issues revolves around what's written in the Tzavos HaRivash and the Likutei Amarim. It's one of the Sfarim from the great Magid, and another one from things that are taken out of various Sfarim in the Baal Shem Tov. So this is the first generation, where he writes there that about the idea of elevating sparks, and that everything in the world contains in it a spark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that sustains whatever it is. And the Gaon took terrible offense. How dare you can say about Avodah Zarah and Nevala and Tarfis and so on that it contains the spark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he calls them apikursim because of that. To which the Baal Tanya writes, so he says, I have no, there's no way for us to argue this out, because, he says, the reason we believe that way, and the reason our Rebbe believed that way, is because that's what's written in Kisvei Ari. It's not mentioned in the Zohar, but it is written that way in Kisvei, in the writings of the Arizal. And as Reb Chaim Vital writes in his introduction to the word, to the works of the Arizal, that everything the Arizal wrote, he received Mipi Elio. He received from Eliyahu Navi. The Goyin, on the other hand, writes explicitly that he received a bit from Eliyahu, but that most of the writings were from his own awesome wisdom, of the Ari's wisdom. So he said, we really have, there's really no way for us to have a meeting of the minds, because what we believe to be an absolute fundamental, he's referring to as apikursis. And our receiving of this is from the writings of the Arizal, and he's saying that that's not accepted by him. So he says, really, there really is nowhere to go. And the way he pleads that it be dealt with is that we cannot take it to any of the Gedolei Lita, but let us each write up our positions, and we'll send it to Italy, to the Gedolim there, or to the Chachmei HaSfard, and let them baskin. And he says, I'm fully prepared. If they tell me that I'm wrong, I'm fully prepared to back off from my position. He says, I'll do whatever it can be for Shalom. And then he writes again that people dare not, don't be upset about the fact that they publicly burned the Sfarim of the Baal Shem, because this has already happened, and who is greater than the Rambam? Or in the lands of Sfarad, he was the greatest. But in his own, he says, to the degree where during the Rambam's days they added to Kaddish, b'chayechon uv'yamechon uv'chayim erona v'rabona Moshe uv'chay d'chol beis Yisrael. During the Rambam's life, he was so great that when they davened for Mashiach to come, they said, "B'chayecher of Yemechen, in your days, and in our days, and in the days of our teacher Moshe." And yet, in distant places where they didn't know him as well, they publicly burned his books until the Ramban and the Radak came and set the record straight. So he said, if that happened to the Rambam, and so it'll happen to the Baal Shem, nothing will happen. The record will be set. History will set the record straight. Up until the year before the Baal Tanya was put in jail, so I assume that the year was Tavkuf Nun Ches, the countries with the Chassidim were under different rulership. At this point, they were taken over by the Tsar's government. They all came under the Tsar's government. And it was illegal to issue a cherem under the Tsar's government. So the Misnagdim had to resort to different means. So there was a fellow by the name of Avigdor. And this Avigdor was a Rav in, where was he? It does doesn't tell us here where he was. I knew earlier. So Avigdor went to the government and said that the Baltanya is running a rebellion against the government. And he went to St. Petersburg and presented his case about all the things that he changed in Yiddishkeit, the laws that he changed, the Nuschat Tefil that he changed, all the various changes that the Baltanya made in Jewish life, and that therefore he is a rebellion, not just against the government, but against Judaism. And they came and arrested the Baltanya. He was sitting, interestingly, he was sitting with Talis and Tefillin, and the fellow that went to arrest him waited till he finished. The Baltanya, in the meantime, slipped out through a side door, and then he gave himself up. And they took him to a high security secret prison in St. Petersburg. And nobody knew where he was. So even the activists, there was a tremendous amount of wealthy activists who were working on his behalf, couldn't figure out where he was stationed. In the meantime, the government appointed various ministers to start interviewing him to get to the bottom of the case. Well, these fellows, one by one, were very, very impressed with him. To the point the Tsar himself came, and the Baltanya stood up and said the bracha, which is said upon a king. The Tsar was in plain clothes. He said, "Why are you assuming that I'm the Tsar?" So he said, "Because Malchusa da'ara is ke'en Malchusa da'rikia, the kingdom here on earth is similar to the kingdom above, and I've never felt the kind of fear that I felt when you walked in. So clearly you must be the Tsar." The Tsar was very, very, very taken. And they interviewed the Baltanya, and he wrote up, and they have photocopies of his writing, that, you know, numerous pages of his defense, of explaining every detail of his conduct, that there was absolutely nothing new that he was doing, that he was restoring, in fact, Yiddishkeit to its balance where it was, and that it had been corrupted and hijacked by corrupt Rabbanim, and that they dismissed davening because it took way too much effort, and they promoted learning because it gave them the upper hand, and the masses were neglected. And goes through detail by detail about the learning of Elihi. He learned Kabbalah by the great Magid, and then he lists the Svarim that he used to continue learning Kabbalah. One of the interesting things there is that he writes that you cannot learn Kabbalah without a Rebbe, that it has to start learning from a Rebbe, and only thereafter can a person learn on their own. Anyhow, he wrote in Lashon Kodesh, and the Tsar didn't read much Lashon Kodesh, so they had to send it to translators. They sent it to two translators. One of these ministers, seeing who he was dealing with, went to the community there in St. Petersburg where there were some kosher observant Jews, and he brought Angemachts for the Baltanya. He got kosher jelly. This fellow smelled that something was up, so he put a note into the jelly saying, "Who are you and where are you?" Baltanya got the preserves, and he wrote back who he was and where he was, and he asked them to get him a message to this one chassid and told him to go to Vilna immediately, without any instructions, just go to Vilna. So they got this message, the whole ma'aseh, you know, with everything in Chabad has, you know, 52 stories associated with it, but he makes it to Chabad. He sits down in Bismedish and mingles without having any idea what he's supposed to do there. And he hears about the court case and that the Baltanya sent, the government sent to Vilna a ksav, which needs to be translated by the Russian governments. So,
presentation mode is on. Only organizers can be heard.
He overhears that it's arrived and that it's gone to the censor to be translated. So he gets over there right away and says, "Look, you're going to be pressured to mistranslate this document. So I'm here to plead." So he says, "They beat you to it." They were here already. So he begins to weep, and he says, "You don't understand. This rabbi is a kaddish, and he's a holy man." And he's moved by this. He says, "Come back tomorrow." He says, "I told them I want to think about it. They're coming back tomorrow. Come here, and you'll be in the room, in the next room." And he comes back, and there's a window, and he can overhear they're coming back, and they offer the guy a huge amount of money and relentless pressure that he should distort and tell them exactly what he should distort, which will match what Avigdor had said about the Baltanya. And he tries arguing. Finally, he gives in and says, "Okay, I'll do it." They leave, and this guy comes out and says, "What did you do?" He says, "I couldn't get rid of them." He says, "If I was going to do what they were asking me to do, would I have called you to be here?" He said, "I'm telling you, I will stay loyal to the translation." He says, "What's more, they sent the translation to a second copier. So if I want to keep my job, I have to be loyal to the translation because I know that they sent it to another copier." And he is, the words speak for themselves. And on Yud Tes Kislev, which was the yahrzeit of the great Magid, he is released from prison. The guy who takes him out of prison ends up delivering him instead of the chassid lived on the second floor, and there was one of the people who put him into prison was on the first floor, and they delivered him to the wrong apartment. And he was there, I don't know what it was, for 45 minutes, and this fellow was as cruel can be. Until they chapped upstairs, they were waiting, and they chapped, and he should have been here already. They went downstairs and realized what this was. He said, he told him that the half hour that he spent in this guy's company was far greater torture than all the time he spent in prison. That it was so ruthless. Turns out, no. He did. It was torture. It was emotional torture. What he was going to do to get him back, and they did. They succeeded in getting and landing him in prison a second time. When they released him from prison, he wished well upon the Avigdor. Avigdor himself went from being a prominent Rav to being caught, I don't know what he was caught doing, but ended up being a Shnara. And worse yet, all of his children and Eniklach became Chassidim. They didn't want to be called up to the Torah by their father's name. And each of them were called up by their in-laws' names to the Sefer Torah. They didn't want that his name should ever be associated with them. Take a look at letter, what's the next one? Nun Tes, right? So this is, before we do the Katayinti letter, we'll quickly do this one. A very, very powerful letter. There's almost an identical letter. And again, these are not the Geniza letters. These are letters that have been verified from many different sources. I accept a blessing and I return a blessing. This is to my beloved, the great genius, Chassidu Prisha, there's no good English translations. To all those who lived. Now this is before he later became a mechutin with the Rebbe Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, but this is before he became a mechutin with him. They were just both disciples of the great Magid. Special regards to your children. Yan Moshach Hashem Oisi, because Hashem drew me out, and he brought me to such joy and happiness. Simchu tzadikim b'Hashem. Rejoice, tzaddikim b'Hashem. Vehilaltim Hashem elokechem, you should praise Hashem your God. Asher asi imachem lahafli, you did such a great miracle. Adein misberg, miracles to no end. Agida v'adabra atzmo misaper. I can't even tell you enough. Kiifla Hashem vehigdil asis barat, it's the wonders that Hashem did. Vehifli vehigdil shemoy hagodah v'hakodosh, and he made great and wondrous his great and holy name. Hashem is gadol v'niskadish b'rabim. His tremendous Kiddush Hashem that became publicly known. ubifrat, especially be'enei kol asorim kol ha'amim, in the eyes of the government and the nations, asher b'chol medinas ha'melech, and all of the Tsar's kingdom, asher gam be'eneihem yipolei ha'davar hafla v'fela, the stuff that came about was even in their eyes wondrous. Va'anu va'amru al zois, and they had no choice but to say, ki imeis Hashem ayis zois yiniflos be'enenu, the wonders that came together to create this verdict were even in their eyes miraculous. V'tiyazayis lepela, and it was a wonder in all of their eyes, ki Hashem itanu ve'enoid, that Hashem is with us, and there is none but God. V'hinei, next paragraph. Mi anoichi, who am I? Kiviani Hashem ad halayim, that Hashem brought me to this day. Lizgadel v'lizgadeh shem shemayim ayideh shofal anashim kamani. Why did I deserve that Hashem's great name should become sanctified through someone as low as me? Because the main war that they tried was against the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, Talmidim, and his disciples. It was all against them. It wasn't a personal thing against me. He says, I had a tremendous privilege that this merit came through us. And what does he attribute it to? Eretz Hakdosh of Yeshua. We'll see in the coming letters that the Baal Tanya was in charge of raising money for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. He supported numerous families in the land of Israel. As a result, he's attributing his victory to the fact that the merit of Eretz Yisrael protected him. That's what stood by me. To create my salvation, to broaden us in such a time of narrowness, to get us out of this awful situation. So that's what stood us by. I need to make known, because this miraculous day is Yom Shanichma BeKitoyv. It was a day, it was a Tuesday, a day that Kitoyv was mentioned twice. It was Yud Tes BeKislev, it was the 19th day of Kislev. Yom Hilula, the day of gathering in Rabba, the Ptirus Rabbeinu HaKadosh, it was the day, the Yotzeit of our teacher. At the time that they came to take me out of prison, I was saying Tilim, that Hashem redeemed in peace my soul. That's where I was up to. Is Kaidim Sheshalti Pasuk Shala Achrav, before I could say the next words, Yitzasi L'Shalom, I was taken out of prison. V'asayim B'Shalom Me'Hashem Shalom. And then the next letter he writes to the Rebbe Baruch of Mezhbish, the Baal Shem Tov's grandson, virtually the same letter. So you see what we're dealing with, okay? This, what he was up against, and the magnitude of the salvation. And he writes, all right, we'll see here how he. There's even stronger letters, but now there's a very short letter that was printed as part of the Tanya, page 206, and this is Igeres HaKodesh Beis. The heading, or the subheading here, is Acher Biyose Me Peterburg. Here's the Tanya Sweet. There's a copyright. After his returning from St. Petersburg. Page 206. Michtav Beis. He quotes the words of Yankiv Avino. I have been made small from all of the kindnesses and all the truth. What does that mean? Page 206. Got it? Every time Hashem performs an act of chesed for a human being, the person needs to come to greater humility. Katainti, I become smaller because of all the kindnesses. Ki chesed royimina, because chesed is the right arm, the Zohar says. V'yeminoi techabkeni, and as the pasuk says, his right hand will hug me. Shubchidas kirvas elikim mamish. When a person experiences chesed, it is literally Hashem's hug, b'yeses seis melefnim, and much more so than beforehand. V'chol akorei v'al Hashem b'yeses seis v'ag b'lemay l'maylo. He says it by definition. Anybody who's brought closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a deeper, greater way, by definition, clearly, he's going to be more humble because he's getting to see more of God. The more one gets to see, the more one gets to know of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, clearly, the only option is to become more humble because you're closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Like it says in Tehillim, from a distance, I get to see. You get to see. I feel more distance the more I see of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ukenoida, as everybody knows, he takes the Zohar here and says, to the degree that a person is more before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to that degree are they more nothing. It's counterintuitive. You would think the greater a person becomes, the more they're going to hold to themselves. Not in Yiddishkeit. And to the degree where we know that if a person is arrogant, Hashem says, "Ein ani b'hu yuchel l'moda." Clearly, he's denying my existence. It ain't me. He's knowing. I don't know who it is, but it isn't me. Because if a person gets to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only result can be humility. To the degree that a person is more in front of Hashem, who yoyser kiloi, he's more nothing. V'ayin v'efes. V'zu b'chinis yamin shebikdusha. That is the concept of the right in Kedusha, and it's referred to as Chesed Li Avram, and that's why Avram Avinu is the one who says, Shene Omar, Anechi Afra Vefer. Avram is Chesed, and as a result, Avram Avinu sees himself as nothing but dust of the earth. Yeah. That too was emulated by Yankiv Avinu. That's why, despite the commitment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to him, that you're going to be okay, he still was afraid of Esav. Hashem promised him, I'm going to be with you. What was he afraid of? Because Yankiv Avinu became increasingly smaller in his own eyes. Why? Machmes ribui hachesodim, because he experienced greater chesed. The more chesed he experienced, the smaller he became, the more afraid he became of Esav. Ki b'makli avati, he says, I crossed over the Jordan with all I had was my stick. V'ata yisi d'shnei machin, I said, now look at what I have. He said about himself that he's completely and totally unworthy of being saved. Like Chazal tell us on this pasuk, what was he afraid of? He was afraid that sin would get in the way, because due to the fact that he saw himself undeserving, that itself led him to believe that he said, "Ma she'ein kein bezelu mazehu yishmal chesed deklipa." The exact opposite happens when Hashem does chesed for the other side, for our dear cousins. Kol shachesed gadol, whatever goodness they have, uaydach v'gadol b'goyva v'gasas haruach v'reichav libay. To whatever degree they succeed, they become more and more arrogant and full of themselves. And therefore I am coming to notify a Moedor Rabba, a serious notification to all of our people about the tremendous kindnesses that Hashem did great with us. But our response needs to be Lecha is b'midais of Shel Yankiv. We need to respond not like Yishmael, but like Yaakov Avinu, She'eram v'she'eres Yisrael, she'meisim atzme kishirayim u'maisis, we should see ourselves like totally undeserving mamish, she'em b'shem tzerich, but mamish of no value, like we just experienced an incredible, unbelievable chesed that we were undeserving of, and that's how we have to see ourselves. Levilti rum levavo me'achem, not to walk around with our noses up in arrogance, more so than our brethren. And we dare not open our mouths to them. Not even to we have glee and to peer at them in a way that shows our victory. Has milahazkir biazhara nayra. I am warning this with an incredible warning. Rak lahash bil rucham v'libam b'midas emes liyakiv. You should lower your spirits and your hearts in the ways of emes liyakiv mipnei kol adam, in the face of every person, b'nimichus ruach, with a humility of spirit, uman arach, and a gentle word, meshiv chema, which will turn back anger, v'ruach necha, and a humble spirit, v'kulai v'ulai, and just maybe, yiten Hashem b'lev acheim k'mayim apanim, just maybe, if we act genuinely humble in response to this, maybe we'll turn around our enemies. Oh, it's sweet. Kill the video there.